All right, Uncle, we are now recording.
It is Sunday, March 25th, 2007, at 9:25 p.m. I am the Uncle.
And I am Charlie. Good to have you with us this evening, everybody.
It's a great, beautiful evening that we have, and we have an excellent show in store for you tonight.
We do, we do. We have some of the Uncle's exciting adventures at the one, the only Icon, which took place this weekend.
That's right. It took place from Friday the 23rd to Saturday the 24th, ending today, Sunday the 25th, at Stony Brook University on Long Island.
Is it at Stony Brook every year?
It most certainly is. As a matter of fact, this year was the 26th Icon. And it's a very interesting story because I ran into an actual coworker of the place where I work, which I will not mention in the podcast because I'm scared people will stalk me.
Yeah, you know.
And, you know, he told me that, like, I was like, oh, you know, like, you go to this thing? And he's like, yeah, I've been going here for the last 20 years.
Whoa.
I imagine that, you know, when this guy was an undergrad at Stony Brook University in 1987, he was going to Icon.
Wow, so this guy went to Stony Brook for his education and you know, got to be a part of it probably in the early days of the event.
I believe so. So, you know, it's really kind of cool. I wish I had more of a chance to, you know, chat it up with them. I'm certainly going to, you know, at work next time, you know, I'm at lunch with them because I really would like to get the history of the organization.
Nice, nice.
That being said, I noticed on his front right pocket a Star Trek pin. And so I could kind of dig that. You know, I wouldn't consider myself a big fan of Star Trek, but I like it. I generally like it. And it's really remarkable because I would say that Icon has become completely overrun by fans of anime and Japanese animation. The actual science fiction aspect of the convention, at least from my point of view, had really been subsumed. I mean, there was, I don't even know what the voice actor was from one of these animes. I personally do not care about animes. I think most of them are for, like, I don't know, 12-year-old girls.
It seems that way.
I don't really care what you think. Anime sucks, with the exception of Ninja Scroll and Berserk, and Hellsing to a lesser degree. But even that has some kind of lame aspects to it. But I digress.
Oh, that's okay.
Icon 26. And Charlie, now I would like you to, we're going to play a little guessing game now. How much do you think that it costs for admission on Saturday to Icon?
You know, and I have to think about my experience, I guess, with other cons, and it seems like, you know, $20 a day would probably be a good rate.
You, sir, would be wrong. Higher.
Wow. 28.
Higher.
33.
Higher.
40.
Higher.
No, you're just messing with me now.
It was actually $43.
So if I walked into this show, I'm like, hey, I'm at a university, and I'm going to go see some anime fans dressed up like Sailor Moon. Oh, that'll be $43.
Precisely. If you were not, if you did not have a student ID with you, it was $43. I think if you had a student ID at the door, it was $38.
Like a Stony Brook student ID or, you know, Slippery Rock?
Any student IDs, just in case I brought my recently out-of-date Cornell ID. But luckily, the one that I had did not have a date on it.
Ah, yes, so, mine does not either. Very good.
Right, you know, I'm always trying to think ahead, you know, and any money it can save me, I'm going to take it. But yeah, so this may be my final Icon.
Oh, just because you found it to be so distasteful?
Well, no, just that the price was so ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true.
$20, $25, $30, fine. But okay. $43? This is not the San Diego Comic-Con we're dealing with.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I don't know. It upset me. The price really was a turnoff.
And you feel that really, once you got in the door, there was really nothing to justify that price.
No, I mean, you know, it wasn't like you were given anything. I mean, sure, they had a whole host and range of different panels and talks. And
that was all included as part of the door fee?
Yeah, I guess you could argue that, you know, the door fee paid for all the panels.
Yeah, but that's no different than a lot of other cons that you and I have been to.
But, you know, you couldn't even set foot in the dealer room unless you paid, you know, you paid the price of admission.
Wow. Wow.
So just based on that alone, I mean, it was hard to justify the expense shelled out.
Yeah, indeed. So once you got in there, what, you know, price aside, that's pretty ludicrous. What were some of the highlights?
Well, you know, of course, the first thing I always do whenever I'm at a convention is you hit hit the dealer room.
Yeah.
Because that really is one of the main reasons why I go to these conventions, because it's just, it's really, you know, it's a sensory overload. You're always looking at stuff. You look left, you look right. There's people walking all over the place. You see deals. But really, I don't know what it was. It just, the dealers, well, they had a lot of gaming type stuff, a lot of, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and World of Darkness and role-playing books.
Yeah.
A lot of fantasy type items, meaning, I don't know, Celtic jewelry.
The broadswords and
broad stuff. Broadswords and handmade leather goods.
Oh, of course.
A lot of, like, you know, manga and some hentai and, you know, like stuffed animals of little creatures. And
yeah, oh yes, of course.
Long scrolls of magical girls. So.
And we've identified how much you care about all that stuff. So.
Right, of course. You know, all that, it's like, come on. At least they had hentai, but.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Less said about, you know, the tentacles, the better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was really not that excited based on the wares that I had seen in the dealer room, and I had came with money.
Yeah, and so there is one of the things that generally you look forward to the most, and so after that door fee, it's like, oh, man, even this isn't spectacular.
Right. And so, you know, I was with your friend and mine, you know, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he listens. I think he will now.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, I looked at him, and I said, Jerry, you know, what do you want to do? And he's like, hell, I don't know. So we rustled up one of the programs, and I said, well, you know, we paid money. We might as well try and go to, you know, some of the programming. And the way they had it set up was they basically had, it looks like, 10 different buildings in one vicinity of the campus, all with different programming activities going on throughout all 3 days, Friday, Saturday,
wow.
And Sunday.
Wow. So the whole, like, campus is really taken over by this event.
Well, a significant portion of the campus,
yeah.
I mean, it really is, you know, like, I was complaining about the price and the dealing room wasn't great, but it's really, you know, you haven't lived until you've seen a couple of Sailor Scouts walking next to, like, Sephiroth from the Final Fantasy series, you know, just the whole campus had been overrun by people in costumes, so I always enjoy that.
Yeah, and here I was going to ask if your coworker came dressed as, you know, Wolverine or the robot from Lost in Space, and, you know.
No, unfortunately, my coworker.
Just the pin, just the Star Trek.
He actually doesn't work in the same department I do, but, you know, he works for the same organization.
Yeah.
He was not in costume. I was actually thrilled, very happy that I did not wear a costume.
Huh?
How I saw a coworker of mine who works in the same department I do, who was there for a completely different purpose.
Oh, no kidding.
She
like
with her family, they were doing some. It was an information session on the graduate programs at Stony Brook offers.
That was kind of in the middle of Icon?
Well, it was adjacent. Like, I had found this parking garage off, kind of off the beaten path, because, you know, the main parking lot, I just had a feeling it would be a nightmare.
Yeah, good guess.
I, of course, chose wisely.
Ah, good.
I'm just walking there, and I see this girl, and I'm like, Susan? And she turns and looks at me, and she's with her mom and dad, and it's her, you know? So I quickly, of course, made up a half-truth about how I was meeting a co-graduate from Cornell who now took graduate classes at Stony Brook and had moved out to Long Island, which was partially true.
Very quick on your feet. I like that. And, you know,
course,
certainly not untrue.
Not untrue at all. I, of course, completely neglected to mention that I was also attending Icon 26.
Now, the real question on everybody's lips is whether she would have immediately known what that was and thought you cooler for it or not. Because I think a lot of the time you censor yourself when, in fact, it would not be a bad thing to just, you know, fess up to the truth.
Well, I've kind of put the feelers out there, so to speak. When I've said stuff along the lines of, she asked me what I did last night, and I say, I played God of War.
Yeah.
He was like, what the hell is God of War?
Uh-huh, I see.
A wonderful game for the PlayStation 2.
And have you played God of War 2?
I have not, but I really want to. But the thing is, like, I bought the first God of War when it came out. I played it. It's a wonderful game. Lots of fun. Amazingly fun boss battles.
Yeah.
And protagonists. Everything that's good about a video game. But I just, you know, I stopped playing it. Months pass by. I still haven't beaten it. I'm in the Temple of Pandora. I'm searching for Pandora's box, which is the only weapon that can kill a god.
And of course, I have not played or beaten it either because I am lame, but I do hear that it is short. So, quote-unquote short. I'm also very slow, so I'm sure it would not be short for me. But if you have any sort of average, I guess, time and completion skills, in theory, you can beat it around 10 or 15 hours. So
yeah, I mean, I've only put, like, probably like 7 to 8 hours into the game,
yeah.
But like it's a very fun game.
Excellent, excellent. So you put those feelers out. No hits on the God of War. So you probably made the right decision in leaving out that bit of trivia.
I hazard a guess that I did.
Very good. All right, fair enough. So.
And so initially, I was looking on the schedule, and I was talking to Jer, and I saw this thing, puppet making.
Oh wow!
Now of course, you guys really lose a lot unless you view my thought process. I'm picturing kind of a wizened old man with a head full of white hair and a thick German accent and a curly mustache.
Is a whale involved? No, wait.
In the wood shop, you know, just carving these elaborate marionettes and ventriloquist dummies and showing people, you know, how to do that. And I had thought to myself, man, this is awesome. Like, maybe this guy can show me how to make a puppet that looks like the puppet from Saw.
And this was your quest before Icon. So, right, so this is excellent.
I was thinking, you know, maybe I could make, like, my very own Scarface.
Uh-huh.
Which is, of course, the dummy that the ventriloquist from Batman the Animated Series uses.
Very nice.
Which is, of course, a phenomenal show that I'm a big fan of. And so Jer is at first kind of apprehensive, and he's kind of hedging me, but he's not really telling me what else he wants to do. So I made the executive decision, and I said, look, Jer, we're going to go to this. And he's like, okay. Walk into the room and sit down. It's me, Jer, and probably like 8 to 10, 5 to 8-year-olds.
So this is a nice, intimate session with
kind of the kindergarten class. These, like, they're like ping-pong balls.
Oh.
Like, you know, colored dots on them and a little strap, and, like, you put them on your fingers. And, like, you make a mouth with your thumb.
What? No. No way. Was this the puppet?
Yeah. And, like, the instructor, who, I guess, you know, the kids seem to be loving it, but she's going, like, look at your puppet and have your puppet talk to you. And, like, all the kids are like, hi, puppet. Looked at Jared, and he looked at me, and I was like, dude, I got to get out of here, like, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I'm amazed you didn't. So how did you make your exit? This is really intriguing to me. I hadn't heard any of this.
With I mean, tact and poise and really being a decent human were just thrown out the window. I was like, I can't deal with this right now.
So not even any more half-truths were used at this point. It was merely like, I gotta get the hell out of here, and then...
Exactly, no. It was like, I gotta go.
Okay, fantastic. Keep your ping-pong balls. I'm going to the who knows what.
Yeah, no, but, you know, I will say, in the lady's defense, I didn't realize it at the time, but everything on the schedule with the little smiley face next to it was kid-friendly.
Wow.
So that was how you would know. Like, had I probably read the legend in the schedule, I would have realized that the smiley face meant, you know, like, I guess if people have kids, like, you know, and
yeah. So I have to stop you here. This is interesting, because... I really feel it speaks directly to the evolution of this sort of event when you see it suddenly progress from to being this something where you expect families and strollers and children to show up to, whereas Icon probably started at a college campus in like the disused, you know, old projection room of whatever campus theater they have, or perhaps even in just a lecture hall with like 20 or 30 sweaty sci-fi nerds.
And probably a couple of professors.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
That they'd get to come and speak about the physics associated with warp drive,
Nice. And so it's just interesting to me how you watch this evolution, how it went from that and it snowballed, and now it's this huge, you know, family event which draws enough people that, you know, everybody, all ages are going to be coming and probably have been coming for long enough that they've had time to tailor the event to actually... supporting all those age groups. And it's just something that is interesting to me in the evolution of an event, much like I think the Philly Classic, which on the Preserve last week I reposted my old kind of rough article from 2001.
Yes,
about
I got a chance to read it. It was very enlightening.
And that was, you know, really an important event and very small at that time, and had that room full of video games, which was great, and this other dealer room, and that was the whole thing. And what I don't have pictures up right now from are the subsequent years when it just exploded and was an entire like warehouse sized ballroom in another hotel across town with, you know, corporate sponsorship and like EB Games and, you know, all kinds of big like credit card companies were there. It just got really out of hand, and like the woman from Tron was there. It was just really strange. And yeah, like I've got pictures of all the stuff because I ran a dealer table there, and it was really interesting. But that carried on that way for about 3 years, and then they were purchased by another video game kind of show in the area, and they tried to make it some sort of like consumer electronics show for the East Coast, and the guys who originally ran it like totally sold their rights to, I guess, the name, the Philly Classic. And it has subsequently just been disbanded. Like, if you go to phillyclassic.com, it's just like a page with an email address. Like, you can write for information. So basically, this event, in the course of, and I think it had been going on for maybe 2 years before I went in 2001. And so really, I was seeing kind of the just as it had gotten past its genesis phases into, you know, from like six or seven guys who really liked this stuff doing probably a really small get-together in a hotel room, and then it grew up to where I saw it, and then it went nuts, and then it all collapsed back in on itself because it got too big and too popular, and then was acquired, and then just fizzled out. Like, all the money was there, and I'm sure people spent and lost, and it was all corporation money at that point, I think. Like, the cable companies bought it or something. Very strange. So, to see the evolution of an event is really fascinating to me, and it sounds like Icon is at a certain point in its evolution that's kind of cool.
Well, I have to say, Charlie, when I was reading your wonderful reposted missive on www.parrygamepreserve.com, I was going to call you up and be very irate with you and basically say, you know, how come we haven't done this in the future? And I guess, you know, that very detailed explanation you just gave is the reason why.
Indeed, and I meant to post, you know, that kind of rant along with the link, and I probably should have, but because it is interesting, and I guess, as we can all tell now, I feel that I don't really have my thoughts together too solidly on it, kind of the deconstruction of the life cycle of an event that starts out as being fan-oriented. I think this is why I'm so interested in ThingFest, that thing that that Ed and Gozer went and did, where these guys, where is it, in Canada? Or like Michigan or something, where these guys like watched the movie The Thing? And, you know, and I saw that as this great little fan thing, and it's probably not, you know, it doesn't have enough of a hook to turn into a big event, probably, but I saw that as really kind of on the edge of, you know, it's this little fan event, and if it went in just the right direction, it could become this crazy thing where it's the whole East Coast answer to, like, this cult movie, and would soon get out of their control, probably get really big. The people who started it would probably no longer enjoy it, or at the very least would have no control over it, and would then either become kind of slaves to it, and where they had to do it every year for whatever reason, or would just kind of walk away from it. Like, and I have to wonder, with MonsterCon, right, that we just went to a couple weeks ago.
Charlie, before we get into that,
yeah,
for the benefit of our listeners who may not be that disfamiliar, I believe Charlie's referencing basically the best and one of the only thing, this is organized to the best and the only, the thing, you know, of course, the remake from the 80s starring Kurt Russell website, which I believe is Outpost 54. In any case, do a Google search for The Thing and something, I think it's Outpost 54, it might be 51, it'll come up, go to the website, it's a phenomenal website for a phenomenal movie, and it has all the information that you would like on the ThingFest, and
so I think now is a great time for our intermission.
Thank you.
cell phone.
That sucks.
That was pretty awesome. So, was that your dad making a guest appearance on the Uncle Cast?
Yes, it was.
Fantastic. For the listeners at home, they've already heard this. That was our intermission. So, everybody, we're back.
Yes, we are, and it's great to be back. And, by the way, that little intermission is great. It's a it is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Ah, indeed, indeed. And really, for anybody who hasn't played the game that song is from, however you can manage to do it, be it an emulator or any of the strange and bizarre Sega hardware upon which it was released, do your best to find it. Or 3DO, even. Yeah, any number of strange systems that people generally don't have. It's really worthwhile.
I believe it was only on the 3DO, the Philips CD-i, and the Sega CD.
There you go. That sounds right to me. Now, speaking of interesting and obscure video game factoids, I seem to remember you mentioning something else about a different panel at Icon that you really found to be very enjoyable.
Well, I went to a panel, both myself and Jer, that was called Top 10 Worst Video Games That You Probably Like.
That You Probably Like. Oh, nice.
Yes, yes. And it was really, it was an excellent panel, but it was pretty crazy because there were times, well, throughout most of the panel, where I thought to myself, am I in a panel about an individual that's speaking about video games, or am I at a rock concert? Because the room, which is one of these college lecture rooms, was filled three-quarters the capacity, and the crowd was, it was one of the most raucous crowds I had ever seen.
Man, so there's like, fist-pumping, lighters in the air, all kinds of, you know.
People were screaming, people were cheering, people were booing, it was crazy.
No kidding. Wow, well, look at these emotions that it elicits. We're in the right business.
Well, again, I mean, I think a large part that the guy wanted to do was provocative.
Yeah.
So, for example, at one point he had different, it was really cool, he had clips from YouTube of the video games, humorous clips that he would play, and the audience really liked it, and at one point he selected the wrong clip. It was just a 5-second preview of the beginning of the famous Leroy Jenkins clip from the World of Warcraft, and the entire crowd went nuts.
Nice.
Of course, this was before he had announced that the World of Warcraft was one of the top 10 worst games.
Of course. Oh, good. What did the crowd boo and hiss? What was the reaction
Actually, it was amazing, because when he announced the World of Warcraft, people stood up and cheered and screamed. I, of course, did as well, because I hate the World of Warcraft. It is a terrible game. It is just no fun. I don't find it fun. The guy running the panel, whose name escapes me at the moment, will post it on the Parry Game Preserve when I get a chance to look through my schedule.
Very good, very good.
He actually ran it. He made the point of, I play video games, get away from assholes. I play video games when I'm surrounded by assholes.
That's a good point. A
really good point. He also made the point that, you know, it's just good enough. You know, it's intentionally designed to get people psychotically addicted. And I don't know, I just don't find it compelling.
This is true that it is designed to be. Well,
the maker of the World of Warcraft is making reams upon reams of money. They've sold I don't know how many millions of copies. People love it.
Yeah, that's how I always shut myself up when I'm making an argument about it, because certainly Blizzard is making a fortune, so they're not doing anything wrong. And I guess from a company standpoint, it's working very well. And while it's not very fun as a game on many levels, it does enough things, I guess, that keep people playing, including myself recently, which is a little disturbing. So really, I have very few arguments I can actually, you know, legitimately make against it, as much as I may try.
Well, here's my argument as to why I think the World of Warcraft sucks. I was supplied with a free trial from my friend. Now, in order to play the free trial, you need to, I think there's a link where you can download a portion of the game for free. He also had given me, he bought it, a Stormboard copy of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's $20, right? So he gave me the Stormboard copy, and there was some free 10-day trial because he played the game, and it's like, you know, get your friends hooked.
Right.
So, for me to, even though I had the CD-ROM and I installed all the entire thing on my computer, for me to play, I needed to input my credit card information.
Really?
Now, the uncle is no fool. The uncle would know full well if they had my credit card information. I would not go in and change the billing, and they would just get me up on a recurring billing cycle and charge me $13 a month. And even though I wouldn't want to play it, I would be paying to play for it.
Of course.
I believe a certain segment of the players of the World of Warcraft, they've got you.
Yep.
Said, I'm not, Chris isn't going down like that.
No, it's good to understand your own psychology well enough to avoid those traps.
Right. So I go to GameStop, I spend $30, I get a 2-month prepaid card. Okay?
Yep.
I sign up, I put in the information. So I've now spent $30 to play a free trial.
To play a free trial, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm running around, I don't know what the hell is going on. I can't, like, I just don't know the key things that you need to know. Enter Brady Games World of Warcraft Master Guide, the strategy guide.
Of course.
Okay. Another $25 spent.
For your free game.
For my free game on a basic strategy guide. Now, the areas in the World of Warcraft are massive and huge and highly detailed. There's all these quests. Leafing through the guide, I learned, to my surprise, that there were no real maps. If you want the maps, you can buy their handy Atlas.
Indeed, which we have.
Which is, of course, $30. This is different than their $30 World of Warcraft Guide to the Dungeons. And if, of course, you want to play the new race, the Blood Elves.
Or the other new race.
Who are like the Paladin, you can be a Paladin for the Horde side. You need to spend $40 on the expansion pack, and then another $20 on the Burning Crusade Strategy Guide to figure out what the hell you're doing. So I didn't buy any of this, mind you. I only spent...
Well, you bought one.
Right, I bought one of them. So I spent $55 for a quote-unquote free trial.
Nice.
Come on. No way. I mean, I could have bought a new PS2 game for that. I could have bought a new Xbox 360 game for that.
That's
and
true.
I'm sure I would still be playing and enjoying. And, you know.
That's true. Well, you know, I think you've really... you've helped boil down some of the general complaints about World of Warcraft, and while we could continue down that theme for countless hours, I'm sure, I think the listeners at home would like to hear a little bit more about the worst video games that you enjoy playing panel.
Oh, well, another one.
Lest we forget, yeah.
It got a huge reaction, was Madden 2007.
2007, well, as opposed to all the Maddens that came before it.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
Oh, as opposed to all the Maddens that came before 2007, like the last 20 years of Madden.
Well, this is an attack on the entire Madden franchise.
Huh.
While I have never actually played Madden, the gist of the argument was that it's the same game over and over and over with just updated rosters, slight tweaks to the gameplay, and it's very buggy.
Yep.
And he showed some hilarious glitch videos online where the player, I guess, was running for a touchdown, and it was just a floating football because the guy had glitched out and he was invisible. Another one where a guy caught a football and it appeared to knock him in the head and his head fell off. I really liked it.
That's quality.
No, it really was quality.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it is that I liked so much about Madden 2007 when I saw it in the stores. I think that it's a special, like, anniversary edition, either for the Madden video game franchise or for John Madden himself, and features a grinning, corpulent, wonderful picture of Madden right on the cover that just right there won me over. Like, this is so great. There's not, like, you know, the football player on the cover. It's my man, Madden, who I have always enjoyed, and he's just smiling on the cover and, like, being carried by his. So while I have no desire to play it, and I think there must have been more to it than that, I was delighted by simply the packaging of Madden 2007, and we'll just leave it at that, I guess. And then really, I have no reason to believe when I saw it the first time that it would be anything better or different than since they've been coming out for at least the Sega Genesis, if not before, since I have some for the Sega Genesis, and that it would really just be the same game, but this time on the 360. So good to hear that I wasn't wrong about that.
Well, it was just an impressive, I wish I had audio. If you could have heard the volume of the cheers of when this Madden 2007 came up,
and wow,
cheering in support of its inclusion on the list. Some witty individual watching the panel commented, "But the grass looks so realistic." a huge laugh erupted throughout the crowd. These people were pretty hostile towards Madden, but again, I've never really played any of the Madden games, so
a hostile Madden crowd. Oh, it's harsh. Now, man, think about the presenter for this, though. Like, what a sweet deal that is. Talk about a receptive audience and a great presentation to give. Like,
oh, of course.
How reaffirming must that be? You know, every word out of his mouth, the crowd stands and cheers. It's like some sort of self-help workshop. It's amazing.
Well, actually, that's not entirely true. If people did not agree with the inclusion of the game, there were hisses.
Okay, so this is the other side of it that we haven't heard much about.
And what? At least his first game, which was number 10 on the list, drew a lot of people. I stood up and booed.
Oh, good job. What was it?
Was Donkey Kong Country for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, for the SNES, okay.
Yes, and he basically, the reason why I put it on was he felt upset. It had been, you know, it sold all these copies and was hugely successful, while Yoshi's Island, which was done by Shigeru Miyamoto for the Super Nintendo,
yeah,
was pretty much overlooked by American audiences, and, you know, Donkey Kong Country, which he argued was just, you know, a weak platformer and, you know, all fast twitch reflexes, which is why I think it's a fun and challenging game. So it was really, I don't know.
And, of course, everybody should know the name Miyamoto because...
Right, of course. I believe he is the designer of Zelda?
Yeah, indeed. And I believe also, for more contemporary audiences, Pikmin, if I'm not incorrect. Maybe.
That is correct. So. I believe he had a hand in Pikmin as well. But, of course, you know, the huge money-making franchise, The Legend of Zelda, he's the original, I guess, developer of that.
So,
and then there was a couple of games I had never heard of before or played, one of which was Rise of the Robots for the PC.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever played that.
Another I have not.
Was Harvester, a totally and completely obscure PC game, which looked to be from the mid-90s and had these delightfully awful cutscenes using real quote-unquote actors.
Oh, excellent.
Hilarious. I mean, I'm excited. I actually want to play this Harvester game because this guy put it in his lecture. It looks like it belongs somewhere in the Parry Game Preserve.
Audience. Yeah, I like how his intention has backfired now, and in fact, the audience for this bad game has grown thanks to the lecture. Fantastic.
Yes, Jer also commented the same thing. He looked over to me and he's like, "I kind of want to play Harvest." That was
sweet.
Cool.
And really, I'm very. It's too bad, but I'm pretty ignorant about most PC gaming, so I guess I'm not surprised.
Oh, I am as well. I'm totally.
I'm not familiar with those two titles. It comes as no surprise.
Another notable game that I'm pleasantly surprised I can't even say it. I'm happy he included was Tattoo Assassins.
Wow.
Actually was an unreleased 2D fighter that was supposed to come out in the arcades and never did. I never actually asked him if he played it, because if it was unreleased, how the hell would he have played it?
Yeah.
Charlie, this is something that you must look up on the Wikipedia.
All right, Tattoo Assassins.
One of the finishing moves involves summoning a DeLorean, dropping it out of the sky, and crushing your opponent.
No kidding. All right, well...
I wrote the story for Tattoo Assassins, wrote the story for the first Back to the Future movie.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well, this is very... I feel almost as if you would be making this up, but it's almost too absurd for it to be made up. That's,
Yes, one of the characters actually was a stripper.
Okay.
And I believe she had a move where she got naked.
Of course.
And another character was based off of Tanya Harding.
Boy, you know, I really, for one, am very surprised this never made it to the arcades. do tell. I can't imagine.
Yeah, so if you ever... or bored, check out Wikipedia, type in Tattoo Assassins.
Yeah, that is spectacular.
The article up on it, it looks pretty cool. Again, it's one of those games that, just for sheer oddity's sake, I wish I had a copy of, because I'd really love to play it. It looks like it's fun, despite being off.
Yeah. Wow. I am very impressed, indeed. And we will have to look this up. Is there, as we're perhaps... you know, getting through to the end of the show here already, are there more, any more thoughts you have about Icon and the experience?
You know what, Charlie? There are, but I think I want to save them for next time.
Fantastic, because...
I don't mean to tease it, but I went to a panel presented by the Paranormal Society of Long Island.
Oh, man.
About ghost hunting, and that really, that could be its own podcast.
This really sounds like quite an epic event. Honestly, you're starting to make me feel as if you got your $43 worth. Now, a lesser man may not have, because that lesser man may have, I don't know what other events were available, may have gone to the dealer room and watched, perhaps, Lost in Space in the projection room and then driven home with a bag of Cheetos. And that probably isn't worth $43, but it sounds to me, and I know we aren't even hearing it all yet, that you really tapped the greatest things this had to offer.
Well, there was one error that I spaced out on. Myself and Jer went into one of the rooms in one of the centers and watched an episode of The Greatest American Hero.
Wow.
And, yeah. Now, what we should have done was we should have gone early to another room, because what they had was they had a Mythbusters panel.
Oh, no kidding.
People from the actual television show giving a presentation.
Really?
So I'm upset that I missed that. They didn't have the two main guys, but, you know, the other guy and the girl, I don't know what their names are.
Yeah, well, you know, that's close
enough.
They
had a video presentation. And the room, we tried to get in there, you know,
oh, right.
5 minutes before it started, but, like, you couldn't even...
Oh, so unless you queued up, like...
It was wall-to-wall, yeah. Standing room only.
You had to be standing in some Tobin Bell-style line beforehand to get into that, right?
Precisely. Precisely. People were, like, fighting to get their way in there, and just, you know, you could hear the laughter of people...
just taunting you from afar.
Right, exactly. So, I'm sure it was great. I'm a little bit bummed that I got to, that we missed it, and instead watched William Cat fly around in that ridiculous outfit.
Well, which is its own brand of specialness, but I understand that you feel there's something was missed. That's a, but yes, I think that your idea of saving this for perhaps a second part of Icon 2007 is a great idea.
Okay.
So we will look forward to that. I know that I'm looking forward to it, and so you know that the folks at home are looking forward to hearing what else happened at Icon.
Oh, yeah, it's jam-packed, full of adventure and excitement.
Fantastic.
Hey, Uncle.
Yes.
You want to go play some Warcraft now?
Absolutely not. I'm through with the World of Warcraft.
All right. Well, we'll see how long that lasts. I know that the uncle's tastes are fickle.
That's right.
And I believe our producer also was wondering if you've had a chance for your Sigma 6 and your Bratz figures to go to the movies yet.
Unfortunately, I've been busy. There haven't been any trips to the movies or the ice cream parlor or the mall.
Oh, that's tragic. That's tragic. Oh. A story of... love
depending
lost.
Upon my mental health, you know, if things get really hairy, who knows? I just may have a tea party.
just make sure that your long-suffering father, who made a cameo on the Uncle Cast earlier this evening, just doesn't stumble upon those that figure, I suppose.
Let's hope that gets edited out, folks.
or not. Well, hey, Uncle, you have a great week. As always, it's good to talk to you.
Wonderful talking to you, Charlie.
All right, and we'll pick this up again next time.
Have a good week.
You too. Bye.